Sunday of Lent. And for the next several Sundays, Cindy and I will work through the 8 verses of Psalm 130 as we process toward Easter and the day of our Lord's resurrection. For this morning, however, we will only work with the first verse, known as the Profundus, which means and reads, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord." Out of the depths, we interrupt your regularly scheduled sermon to bring you this special report. Do you love to sing, but find yourself constantly having trouble singing high notes? The most common reason people have trouble singing high notes is that they are singing in a falsetto voice. Falsetto means that you have reached a point in your vocal range when your vocal cords have trouble holding themselves together. They literally start to separate so that your tone loses its depth. Sometimes this falsetto can be useful, but it is definitely better to be able to sing in a higher note with greater depth most of the time. This has been Lisa Lopez reporting, Article Alley News. What's interesting, more than perhaps funny, about this announcement is that if you substitute sing with worship God, vocal with spiritual, tone with faith, singing high notes with being authentic, and singing in a falsetto voice with worshiping God in a hypocritical manner, the seemingly tangential quote becomes congruent with the point of today's sermon, to wit, do you love to worship God, but find yourself constantly having trouble being authentic? The most common reason that people have trouble being authentic is that they are worshiping God in a hypocritical manner. Hypocrisy means that you have reached a point in your spiritual range where your spiritual cords have trouble holding themselves together. They literally start to separate, and your faith loses its depth. Sometimes this hypocritical voice can be useful, but it is definitely better to be able to worship God in authenticity with greater depth most, rather all, of the time. Now, is it ever useful to play the hypocrite when worshiping God? Well, if we put on a show, if we talk the talk and fake the walk, others in their ignorance will affirm our piety. They will marvel at our righteousness at no cost of discipleship. And even if on the inside we know it to be false, sometimes we delude our own spirit to live under a pretense of faith. Because dedication to Christian authenticity is often too difficult to manage, especially against the lusts that tempt us. Sometimes then, more often than we would probably like to admit, we choose to act like the hypocrites of old, seeking fraudulent rewards instead of the treasures that come from truthful hearts meeting in sync with divine rhythm. Remember our gospel text from this morning. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound the trumpets before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, to the hypocrites, which is an actual translation of the actors of the play, in Jesus' time, did the hypocrites actually blow their trumpets every time they turned a good deed? The text is unclear. be somewhat humorous to imagine. I picked up some litter. I said a prayer. Even if it's unclear that that was a trumpet sound that I was making, what is clear is the message that Jesus has in mind. Don't go around tooting your own horn. Don't go around singing your own praises when you do something you think noteworthy. Be humble. Be for the kingdom's glory and not for your own. And if you make a scene out of your piety so that others will pat you on the back, then that shall be your only reward. That is, your only reward will be mortal attention and hollow affirmation. God, on the other hand, will not care. God, on the other hand, will not take notice. God will overlook you. So according to the definitive source of modern knowledge, Wikipedia, our vocal folds are made up of elastic and fatty tissue. The folds are covered on the surface of laryngeal mucous membranes, which is supported deeper down underneath by the innermost fibers of the thyroarytenoid muscle. When using falsetto, the extreme membranous edges, the edges furthest away from the middle of the gap between the folds, the edges appear to be the only parts vibrating. The mass corresponding to the innermost part of the thyroarytenoid muscle remains both still and motionless. Now, I don't think it's an embellishment to say that both our culture and our church life has suffered from apathy. And though it's true that many of us are still nurturing and expanding the kingdom of heaven here on earth, it seems that just as many are unwilling to take the next step. We say, let someone else take that step. We say we are content to come to church and to walk through those doors and to leave unchanged. And we assure ourselves that at least to the outside world, the edges, we appear to be vibrating well within these walls. And that appearance alone is well enough indeed. Pity that at our innermost, our faiths have become still and motionless. And trust me when I confess that I am not so pious to exclude myself from that charge. Matthew 6, 16 through 21 says, whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. You see, in Jesus' time, Jews were required to fast once a year. But for those who thought themselves pious, they wished to practice this more often, sometimes twice a week, typically on Mondays and Thursdays, which were the major Jewish market days. People from all around, both rich and poor, would come to do their shopping and or their selling. The town centers, the city squares, were crowded and buzzing on those days, and this is when the hypocrite would seize his opportunity. Hypocrites were sometimes ordinary, sometimes Pharisee, and they would literally adorn themselves in tattered clothes. They would dirty up their hair and put makeup on their face so to give off the impression that they were sickly. They did this to show their righteousness to the masses, so that everyone who came to the market could marvel at their piety, to the dedication they kept to a weekly fast. Oh, how wonderful, how sick they are. The your only reward. For as Isaiah 58 agrees, God will not affirm you. God will not take notice or give credit to your falsetto. Your righteousness should be between you and God alone. And when you call attention to yourself, you dissolve any merit that you think you have earned. So, my friends, the question before us then this morning is, why will we fast this season? For moral recognition or for holy righteousness? Why will we pray or come to church? To earn points? To get approval? To put a check in the box? Or will we come here because there is something resonating at greater depth? From this moment forward, we have 40 days until Good Friday. We have an entire season which we can rediscover the depths of our faith, or perhaps for the first time, discover the merits of our virtue. Out of these depths, the depths that sing to us from our faith, far from the shallows that the world teaches us to reach for, we can strive for God's and God's only attention. But if we remain hovering near the superficial, such that we desire the pat on the back and, boy, you are such a great Christian, if we sail any closer to the shores of apathy, such that we sleepwalk through this journey of enlightenment, it will only make Christianity distasteful to others and pointless to ourselves. You and I both need to re-examine what it means to answer this calling. Even if your faith has been substituted for doubt, even if you've hit a rock at the bottom and your faith has never recovered, wrestle with the questions. Wrestle with the doubts. Don't give up. At least reveling in your questions and your doubts is better than reveling in nihilism and nothingness. The Lord Almighty knows all of my doubts, knows all of my questions. Let us not run from them, but meet them together, so that both you and I can dive deeper into the Word, deeper into philosophy, deeper into theology, seeking potential answers that we may have overlooked because of our doubts. The journey is never over until we choose to give up. And for those of us who think that we've got it, that we have no questions, that we have no doubts, we think of ourselves as righteous and in no need of this season, let us check our hypocrisy at the door. Let us quiet the falsettos of our fake piety. For we all need to hit the bottom of what all this is about. We all need to relearn why all of this is important. So that together with Christ on Easter morning, we can rise from the ashes of our former selves toward life and truer discipleship. And only then, as quoting our prophet Isaiah, shall we, our light break forth like the dawn, our healing quick, and divine grace and glory our rear guard. Only then shall we call, and the Lord will answer, our pitch harmonized, so God will say, "Here I am." Amen.